You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Katie Frankowitz. Amid an ongoing U.S. Department of Homeland Security shutdown and heightened tensions over immigration enforcement, DHS Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen toured Coast Guard facilities on the North Oregon and Southwest Washington coasts Wednesday. Also in attendance were U.S. Representative Marie Glusenkamp-Perez, a Washington Democrat, and Coast Guard Commandant Kevin Lunday. According to Glusenkamp-Perez, the tours were intended to support the Coast Guard's mission and better understand its resource needs. Later, Mullen visited the Fort George Brewery in downtown Astoria for a Coast Guard event to honor Coast Guard Petty Officer Second Class Tyler Jaggers. The aviation survival technician died on March 5th due to injuries sustained during a rescue mission off the Oregon coast in February. Mullen's visit, specifically news of his presence at Fort George, sparked concern and anger among local activists and others. Zach O'Connor, a senior vice president at Fort George, says brewery staff did not realize Mullen would be at the event. Mullen spoke briefly to others in attendance and left after 20 minutes without eating or drinking anything. The Seaside City Council is down two councilors after one was recalled and another resigned. At a meeting at the end of March, City Councilor Heidi Hoffman announced she was resigning effective April 15th because she's moving to Astoria.
No, I am not resigning in protest of the recall vote.
She was referring to the March 17th recall election of City Councilor Seamus McFay. This week, Clatsop County released official results that upheld the initial results from March. McVay has been recalled with 185 votes in favor of his recall and 144 votes opposed. The petitioners behind the recall claimed McVay was elected under false pretenses and had been secretive about his past criminal record and a name change. His supporters, meanwhile, described the recall push as a, quote, vendetta. KMUN reached out to McVay for comment, but did not receive a response by deadline. However, at the Seaside City Council meeting on March 23rd, McVay repeated that he has been open about his past and condemned what he called the mudslinging, name-calling, and slanderous behavior of some in the community. Still, he said the voters have spoken and he'll respect that, though he wondered about who would want to throw their name into the ring to fill his vacant seat, given what he had just gone through.
Y'all, we're volunteers at a city level. There's no reason we should be getting death threats for the work we're doing. We're all on the same side trying to improve this community, and we might come at it from different angles, but we all have the same goal, to make this community better. I hope that one day we'll get there where we no longer feel the need to tear each other down with lies, with hatred, with deceit, with... We can do better.
At the meeting, McVay said he still plans to stay involved with the city, but from the other side of the dais. McVay was elected in 2024, beating opponent Mark Hopman. His recall follows a contentious appointment process earlier this year to fill a vacant seat on the city council, and it comes nearly 2 years after the recall of another Seaside city councilor. Mayor Steve Wright calls McVay's recall a sad situation. He says he's concerned about people using recall elections to remove someone from office because they disagree with them about an issue or have personal problems with them.
You know, we have a seven-member council for a particular reason. That's so we can have different viewpoints and hopefully come to agreement. You know, something is going to serve the broader community of Seaside.
Like McVay, Wright worries that all of the recent contention and controversy could discourage people from seeking to fill the now two empty seats on the council.
People are going to look at that and say, you know, is this someplace I really want to be? And I don't know if it's going to take me just sitting down with them and talking through and thinking that, you know, if you get people that are going to look for the best and not just their viewpoints, then we should be able to work through that.
There are several options when it comes to filling McVeigh and Hoffman's seats. The Seaside City Council could move forward with an appointment process that could take several months. They could even choose to leave the seats vacant for now. The City Council will discuss next steps at a meeting on April 27th. This is local and regional news on KMUN. An immigration attorney is alleging that a recent arrest in Seattle was unlawful. That's after ICE agents arrested a man at the Seattle Immigration Court after his asylum hearing. KUOW's Gustavo Sagrero has more.
This courthouse arrest is rare. There hasn't been a known case since last summer. Immigration attorney Eli Villamalon was at the courthouse when ICE agents arrested her client. She says he does not have a criminal record or a deportation order. The man is now in an immigrant lockup in Tacoma. Part of the man's asylum claim is that he was kidnapped and forced to work for a criminal organization as a teen. He later fled to the U.S. to seek asylum.
I mean, think about it. He's been kidnapped twice.
ICE and DHS have not responded to requests for comment about why he was arrested. Malone says his arrest is potentially unlawful and plans to file a petition in federal court to get him released. It would be one of hundreds of similar cases that have been filed over the past months as immigration enforcement has ramped up arrests in Washington state. I'm Gustavo Sagredo reporting.
On Wednesday, Washington state declared a statewide drought for the fourth year in a row. Officials are calling for improved plans as droughts become more common in the future. NWPB's senior correspondent Anna King reports.
April 1st was when the state should have hit its snowpack peak. But as Northwest skiers and snowmobilers will tell you, this year was pretty much a bust in the high country. This snow drought and dry conditions in many lower basins means trouble for fish, farms, and fire later this year.
This year is an example of conditions we expect to see more often in the future.
That's Caroline Mellor, the lead expert on drought with Washington's Department of Ecology.
By the 2050s, new studies out of the University of Washington project that we'll see a snowpack drought 7 out of every 10 years.
Mellor says that future snowpack droughts could lead to more floods and not enough water for cities. I'm Anna King.
Some fire experts say cuts to U.S. Forest Service research could hamper firefighting efforts this summer. The agency is shutting down most of its research stations, including in Portland, Seattle, and Wenatchee. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
The Forest Service says researchers won't lose their jobs, but they will have to move to different locations. University of Washington scientist Susan Pritchard collaborates with several researchers whose stations are closing.
Whenever people are required to uproot and move, that disrupts their ability to conduct place-based research, including what's happening in this upcoming wildfire season, which will be a doozy.
The lab in Seattle specializes in wildland fire. Pritchard says the lab will be busy making smoke forecasts this summer. One Forest Service researcher who asked to remain anonymous says the agency's closure plan lacks detail in order to scare people into quitting. A spokesperson says the Forest Service's work to manage forests and wildfires will continue without interruption. I'm John Ryan reporting.
An unusually warm winter left Malheur County onion growers with a lot of damaged onions. And as OPB's Alejandro Figueroa reports, they're trying to get rid of them.
Onions in Oregon are harvested in the late summer and early fall and kept cool naturally through the winter in warehouses. But because of record-warm temperatures, those onions sprouted early. Roughly 800 million pounds have to be tossed out now. That's double the normal amount that gets thrown out. Stuart Wrights is with Oregon State University in Malheur County.
We're basically taking advantage of Mother Nature to provide the refrigeration to keep the onions dormant. And so the temperatures just never really got cold enough to store the onions appropriately.
Malheur County is unofficially known as the largest onion-producing county in the nation. The State Department of Agriculture is relaxing some rules about how growers can dispose of their onions. Alejandro Figueroa reporting.
The Oregon Beach Monitoring Program has released its list of coastal recreation areas it will monitor for the presence of bacteria over the next 2 years. KLCC's Brian Bayhuth reports.
Bacteria on a beach can come from sewage spills, surface runoff, or a bad septic system, to name a few possible sources. It can cause illness in humans. The Oregon Health Authority testing program runs from May through late September of each year. If a test exceeds the federal limit for bacteria, the agency issues an advisory. It's not a closure, says OHA recreational water specialist Dr. Linda Nowitzki, but
we do advise people to avoid contact with the water, to avoid swimming and wading, and doing activities that might get water in your mouth.
25 beaches are slated for testing, including 8 in Lincoln County and 1 in Lane County. I'm Brian Behuth reporting.
Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Department.